Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, a.k.a. Mr. Three Times in One Day.
Oh, man, Jordan Morris, boy detective. Jesse!
Now, Jordan, I'm talking about doing it three times in one day. A lot of people thought I was too old. A lot of people thought I was too tired. They thought the world was too scary, but I did it three times today. Three times, Jordan.
I just want to cut in and then say, I can say this is definitively going to be about jacking off. This is not going to be a left turn. There is not going to be another thing. This is definitely jacking off. Go ahead.
No, Jordan, it's not about jacking off. I think
what?
You know this, Jordan. Jordan, I think you know that.
What? I was sure. I was positive because of the way you were saying it.
I, a man in my late 30s, am happily married.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happily married to my beautiful wife, Teresa. We have a productive home life. That's why today I did it three times. One, two, three. Call me Mr. Three Times. It's a coronavirus special, baby. Lockdown action.
Okay. So you're not talking about J&O.
Nope. It's not about J&O, my friend.
What is it? Are you going to tell us?
Yeah, running the dishwasher. I ran the dishwasher three times today.
Oh.
I filled, emptied, and ran the dishwasher three times today because it's a Sunday. My daughter and I did some cooking together. So there's just a lot of, I made a Vichy soir.
Oh, do they call you Mr. 123 because you're an underseen Billy Wilder movie?
Sorry,
I couldn't think of that when you were saying it, but then I thought of it later and thought it was worth going back.
Yeah, exactly. No.
Why you got all those messy dishes?
They call me the, I was going to say the less weird, but similarly weird Julia Child because I made a Vichy soir.
Okay. I guess I don't know what that is.
It's a potato leek soup.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, it's a classic French peasant soup. It's a beautiful soup. Traditionally served cold, but I'm American, so I tend to serve it hot.
Good for you. Yeah. Don't let those commies convince you to ice up your soup.
No, they got three-day work weeks. They don't even turn on the burners on Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays.
Exactly.
Communist fucks. They're Vichy soirs. Three times. Filled it, emptied it, ran it. Wait, emptied it, filled it, ran it. That's the order you do it in.
So wait, how many times did you jack off?
I jacked off twice.
Okay.
It's just like
that's
regular.
Still pretty good. That's still regular. Pretty good.
Well, if you space it out, if you do one in the morning, if you wake up first, you know, if you're the first person to wake up, and then one if everybody goes out for a walk or something.
That sounds nice.
You know how that is.
These are great tips.
Yeah. I didn't jack off at all today, Jordan. I'm doing Movember.
Oh.
That's where I only...
No nut Movember. That's where in lieu of jacking off, you grow a mustache.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, play along at home. No nut Movember.
Should we introduce our guest on the program, Jordan?
I would love to.
Our guest on the program is a writer for Robot Chicken and She-Hulk, a podcast producer, an anime expert, apparently. Please welcome to the program, all the way from beautiful North Carolina, Cody Ziegler. Hi, Cody. How are you?
Oh, what's up, guys? How are you living, King? First of all, congrats for getting those three dishwashers in. I'm proud of you.
Thank you very much. Namaste. I greet the God within you.
Thank you, King.
Young King, loading dishwashers.
My man's out here breaded.
Cody, I didn't know this, but you are taking you're a show business professional, but you're taking a COVID sabbatical in your home your home state of North Carolina.
That is correct.
And
that is correct, King.
Thank you for calling us King. This is great. I feel amazing.
I'm all about uplifting my fellow podcasters, you know.
Thank you.
Yes. How are you liking it? What are the like North Carolina things you can do that you cannot do in LA?
Well, you know, first of all, and this is not being sardonic or facetious, like literally when I landed, like the air is just so, cause I'm in the country. Right now I'm at my dad's house in Greensboro, which is like, it's quote unquote a city, but really it's just a bunch of high rises in the middle of like the forest. So like one, the air is just clean. Like I can breathe normally. Like I can like walk a block and not like be heaving like I'm about to die. And, you know, the best part literally though, is just like, everything is like just cheaper. Like I feel like I'm a rich man. Like I, you know, I haven't technically worked in like 4 months, but like when everything out here costs $5, like you feel like you're sort of slumming it with the mud people.
Everything.
Everything from beer to swimming trunks to human life is cheaper.
Yeah. And it's all costs $5. Like that's the weird thing. I don't know how they set that precedent, but I'm glad that they did. I'm out here thriving.
So you're just dropping Lincolns left and right.
What's the first thing you do when you get to North Carolina? When you step off that airplane, where's the first place you head, other than your parents' house?
This is, oh boy, I'm such a fat ass. Like literally the first thing I did is I picked up my rental car, because you know I got the money.
Hell yeah. Doing, are you rolling Hertz? You're rolling National?
Oh, you know I'm doing Hertz. You know I'm doing Hertz, baby.
Hell yeah.
I got that
That's
money.
Right, King.
This King's snacking on Hertz donuts.
I got that Hertz money. Literally the first thing I do is I stop by, I think it's just a regional chain, but there's this restaurant called Bojangles. It's like a, sort of like the South's equivalent of like Popeyes. They sort of specialize in like biscuits and chicken and stuff. And I get a sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit, a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, and then I wash it down with a cheer wine. Like, that's always my L.A. to, like, North Carolina ritual as soon as I, like, step off the plane.
What's a cheer wine? I've never – is that like a Big Red, or is that a regional
– Oh, dude. Okay, let me give you some education. So it is a – it's a North Carolina soda. It is sort of like – I'd say cherry adjacent, like it's definitely in the cherry family, but it's like, I don't know what the ingredients are. I don't have the secret spices and stuff, but it's, I think a layman could call it a cherry soda. But like they only really sell it here in the South, predominantly in like North Carolina, South Carolina, and probably Tennessee and maybe Georgia, if you like look for it hard enough, but you can find it in some specialty stores, like some of those specialty pop stores. In the big cities, but like, look, if you're into drinking sodas, which I don't do too much these days, but when I do, I highly recommend the cheer wine. It'll change your life.
Man,
cheer wine is a nice drink. You know, it's a not wildly dissimilar drink that I like.
What's that?
Is iron beer. Have either of you guys ever had iron beer?
No.
No. Uh-uh.
What is that?
That is like a Cuban soda. But I guess it's a Cuban-American soda at this point. I don't know that they still have it in Cuba. I think it's like something that left with the revolution because it is an imperialist indulgence or whatever.
What kind of flavor profile are we talking
about?
Yeah, let's get into the profile.
We're talking about like a fruitier Dr. Pepper flavor profile. Like,
ooh, okay.
I would say
I'm
like
with this.
75% Big Red. It's a little more complex than Big Red. 25% Dr. Pepper. It's not like a cherry Dr. Pepper where it's mostly Dr. Pepper flavor. It's a fruitier mm-hmm. soda, but it has a little bit of that Dr. Pepper complexity. It's a very nice soda. By the way, first thing I would do when I got off the plane in North Carolina, take my shirt off, twist it around my hand, spin it like a helicopter.
Yeah, it's funny enough you say that because actually that's the second thing that I do once I wash down my sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit with cheer wine. I actually take my shirt off and wave it out the window while I'm driving down the highway.
I understand.
My extended family all lives in the South. So when we would go to visit them, you know, on family vacations and stuff, yeah, we would drink Big Red, and there would always be some weird alternate Dr. Pepper that we couldn't get in
California. Was it Dr. Thunder?
No, just like an actual, like, you would be able to get, like, a peach Dr. Pepper in, like, you know, in the actual can. And it's like, why isn't this in California? So, yeah, the South definitely has a proud tradition of alternate sodas.
Yeah, of choking down shitty sugar water that'll rot your guts out.
That's the dream, though, isn't it? God, what a life.
Yeah.
Just access. Yeah. Just go to some restaurant. When I'm in the American South, you know, like me and Hodgman, John Hodgman, on a Judge John Hodgman mm-hmm. tour, we drove from D.C. Down to Atlanta and Raleigh-Durham. And mm-hmm. It was a great trip. And the thing, all I wanted to do the entire time was just stop at every barbecue restaurant on the way. Just every single one. And like, you only have to drive 2 hours to get to a new kind of barbecue that the people there are really mad about the last kind of barbecue you ate. It's like, I'll eat all your barbecues. I'm not picking sides here.
Yeah, they're definitely like regional truthers.
I'll say that the other one sucked while I'm at the next place. I will, if that'll make you all happy, I will say that vinegar sauce sucks or whatever.
The Lexington style is really the style you got to like anchor yourself onto. I am a Lexington, North Carolina barbecue truther.
What is Lexington style?
Yeah.
That is the more vinegar based. It's not like, I guess, whatever the thick sauce base, like it's all vinegar down there. That's obviously the kind that I grew up on eating. So like when I discovered there was actually different styles, I was like, what is this thick trash that I have to choke down? Like, give me that vinegar, baby.
But not mustardy. It's not a yellow sauce.
No.
It's just a simple.
Like almost a
colorless sauce.
Yeah, I'd say, have you guys had Texas Pete? Do you guys have that hot sauce? It's a North Carolina hot sauce. It's like, I guess maybe like a Valentino adjacent, like maybe a couple of rungs under that, like taste wise.
Yeah, I have and I love a hot sauce recommendation.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear that Texas Pete is a North Carolina specialty.
Yeah, I mean, the name would make you think that it's from Texas, but it's actually from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Even though there is a giant red cowboy with a lasso on the cover, it is actually, that is fake. He's actually born and bred in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
And whenever I'm in San Diego, I always eat at Colorado Joe's. San Diego's own Colorado Joe's.
Look, it's all about the Brandon, baby.
Yes.
But I am like a serious heavy food enthusiast. Like, I really have, I have a iron stomach for that kind of thing. Ugh. And like the volume of biscuits.
Oh, dude.
The volume of fried chicken. Dude. The volume of barbecue. The volume of stewed greens.
Oh, yeah.
Like all of these things I could eat forever.
It's
until I was sick, and I would do it 2 meals a day. Like, I don't think I could do it quite 3, but 2 meals a day I would eat until I was sick on those various foods.
Don't worry, I can do that third meal for you. It's funny you say that you like the heavy meals, because I just had dinner with my family not too long ago, and we had 3 different types of chicken with like pork chops and like collard greens and like mashed potatoes and corn, and washing it down with like juices. And we had some like donuts in the oven waiting for us afterwards. Like, it was full hedonistic, just like slobbering down just a bunch of organ meat, just getting in all types of organ meat in that stomach.
Break down, Cody. What are your 3 types of chicken here?
That's exactly what I wanted to know.
my boys are sitting there synced up right now. So we had, we had some grilled, like on the grill, chicken marinated. I'm not sure what it was marinated in. I tasted a little bit of spice, or there was definitely some hot sauce in there. We had some leftover fried chicken from KFC, and then we had some like barbecued chicken. And actually, you know what? There was some salmon in there too. I forgot there was just a salmon steak just resting in the pit in the thing as well. I forgot about that.
Holy hell.
So I guess we had land, sea, and air. Yeah, it was great.
All of this sounds great. Cody, I appreciate every single thing on your list.
Oh, thank you.
My number one is going to have to be salmon with the L pronounced. I'm over the moon about that, Cody.
Oh,
I love it so much. I don't want to eat it because I don't really like fish, to be honest with you. But I want to hear that word pronounced in that way forever.
You know what? I got you. You know, I've been educated out here in the South. We got that L. You need that L. I got it for you.
The land of many L's, they call it. I had a couple of TV questions I wanted to run by the both of you. Cody, I have some questions about anime.
Oh,
and Jesse,
okay.
I have some questions about the Antiques Roadshow.
Great. So
we got the whole spectrum covered here.
Jordan, sounds like you've got us pegged.
So
Jordan, just so you know, I'm also available to answer questions about Julia and Jacques Pepin.
I have no questions about them, but if I have any, I know who to text. Okay, I'll start with this Antiques Roadshow thing. I was flipping around the other day, channel surfing the boob tube.
Is that what you call television?
It is.
Yeah, pretty sassy.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sassy, Jordan.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll call the TV whatever. I don't give a shit.
I honestly just watch documentaries on Netflix.
Sure. Yes, exactly.
Don't even have a television.
Love that take. It's one of my favorite takes. Always love it when someone says that to me. Can't get enough of people saying they don't watch TV. They just watch documentaries on Netflix. Anyway. Mm-hmm. So I stopped on the roadshow. I was having a nice time watching the Antiques Roadshow. I'm not a huge fan like you are, Jesse, but it was definitely on around my house growing up, and I do recognize that it is one of these shows that like relaxes people. It is the most like PBS thing, and it's a ton of fun. You see a lot of local weirdos, and it's fun when someone's doodad is worth a lot of money.
I love that. Gotta love those local weirdos.
It's a real vibe.
Yeah.
Something I really appreciate about the Antiques Roadshow is a dad in shorts. Mm-hmm. He was like, man, oh God, I hope I get on television today. I'm wearing my shorts.
Mm-hmm. With my cell phone clipped to the belt.
Legs glistening.
But my number one favorite category of guy on the Antiques Roadshow is a sweet-tempered provincial homosexual. Like, you learn what a sweet gay guy is who's from Fargo. You know what I mean? Love it. Love those guys.
So I was watching the Roadshow, and you know how, TV shows want, people to engage with the show online, second screen and all that. So, you'll throw up a hashtag so people can talk about the show online. And the one that the Antiques Roadshow threw up.
Hashtag world's worst Mark Wahlberg.
It was hashtag junk in the trunk.
I need to follow that hashtag.
Now, I was...
You gotta do some research.
Social media teams like, we're going to own this one.
I panicked because I panicked for whoever the PBS social media intern is. Because, and yeah, it's like one of these, it's like it seems like a classic like social media faux pas from someone who doesn't understand it, It would be like if Boston Market like had organic chicken and their hashtag to promote it was like big natural breasts or something.
Heavy Hangers rotisserie chicken.
Yeah. It just did. And I'm like, this hashtag, they're incredible. The five people or whatever tweeting about Antiques Roadshow are just going to go on it and they're just going to see, ample butts. And hey, that's a great thing to see, but maybe not something. Listen, if you're looking for armoires or something and you get a healthy dumpus in the face.
Right.
This ain't what you signed up for.
I don't know. I think it brings a little zip to the operation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, who's not looking for a good dumpus in their face every now and then?
Yeah.
I think we all long for a dumpus.
Yeah.
I mean, now more than ever.
That's the American dream, isn't it? The white picket fence.
Right. The dumpus
in
the face.
2.5 kids, the dumpus in the face.
Dumpus in your face.
And if you're Cody's family, 3 kinds of chicken in the pot.
Yeah, that's what we fall for.
Fucking, I just want to back up real quick and say I love having a warmed up leftover from a restaurant in with your home cooking. That fucking rules.
Oh, yeah. You feel like you're doing good because you're not throwing food out, but really like.
No.
Like, you're actually making use of it, but you get to eat the real good food first.
And KFC keeps, man. KFC keeps great.
KFC is a great next day food.
Yeah, it's really hard. We've had it for like 5 days and it still tasted good. So I don't know what they're doing in there, but we support you.
What happens is you go into the KFC and KFC is both good and a little gross.
Yeah, as it should be.
But it is my favorite of the not good fast food.
May I ask what the other names on that list would be, if you could indulge me?
Basically all of them except for like In-N-Out.
All right, touche.
Like In-N-Out, I would say is pretty good.
Yeah.
Like I like eating In-N-Out for real without, and I would say your top two not good fast foods for me would be probably KFC and Taco Bell.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm with that.
Like, Taco Bell is gross, but I do enjoy eating it the occasions that I eat it. Whereas, like, if I go to Carl's Jr., and I eat something, I'm going to be like, this is fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
I wish I had just not eaten. Whereas KFC, I kind of like, you know, like it's gross and it makes me feel sick, but I do kind of enjoy eating it. I mean, Popeyes is about as good, maybe a little better.
Yeah, that's top tier.
Popeyes rules.
But a fast food fried chicken is something that I will not turn away. I will try to avoid pursuing it because it will make me sick, but I will not turn it away.
Gotcha. I respect that.
At a picnic, whatnot.
So I was so shocked at this junk in the trunk thing. And just side note, the thing that they were appraising when the hashtag came up was a woman was trying to get a price for her grandfather's time out chair. So it's like a wooden chair that her grandfather sat in to get a timeout. And I'm just like, that fucking thing's haunted. There's no way it's not haunted.
Yeah, I don't like that. There's some demonic energy encased in that timeout chair.
Yeah.
A ghost in one of those pointy dunce hats.
Yeah.
I actually watch, Jordan, you know this, but I like to watch the UK Antiques Roadshow in addition to the American Antiques Roadshow.
Oh, it's the British show. That's what they call it, right? That's the title, yeah.
Yes.
That's exactly.
And their hashtag is rubbish in the fanny.
Oi, antiques, isn't it?
Oi, constable. We've got some rubbish in the fanny.
You know, our English friend Sarah Morgan listens to this show. She's got to be really steamed with us right now. So I was watching and they were doing, it was a beautiful, it was a woman who brought in a beautiful piece of Murano glass. And they also do hashtags. They flashed a hashtag on the screen. It was hashtag honky tonk badonkadonk.
Yeah, I could see how maybe that would cause some confusion.
Let me add that to my list.
I mean, I don't see how it's even antique related, although it is a somewhat dated reference.
So I jumped on the hashtag, you know, because I was afraid for this PBS person. And also, you know, I would have been. I'm okay. I wanted to kind of see about the dumpuses as well.
Yeah, you gotta do some investigating. Right.
So I did hashtag junk in the trunk, and then for scrolling down Twitter, page after page after page of people talking about that episode of the Antiques Roadshow. No one was talking about butts. Whoa. Everyone was just tweeting along with the Antiques Roadshow with the hashtag junk in the trunk.
Oh, wow. That's so awesome. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
That is extraordinary.
I don't know. I guess people just like love to, I guess maybe it's just like people who still watch live TV are watching Antiques Roadshow and also but they've also learned to use social media along with it. Fascinating.
Yeah. And they're highly active on Twitter. Who would have thought?
That's beautiful. I feel like that is really beautiful.
It is.
Yeah, I actually love to see that.
I didn't get to see the dumpus, which was, you know, a little bit of a bummer. But yes, it was a beautiful moment.
You know what I was thinking the other day? I should be the host of the Antiques Roadshow.
Oh, boy.
Why am I not, though? Who's so great? Who's so great that they're the host of the Antiques Roadshow and it's not me? It's not Mark L. Wahlberg. He's not the host anymore. It basically doesn't have a host anymore. There's just like a little voiceover.
Yeah.
Oh, they've streamlined that bad boy. They cut out the fat. Like, we don't need no host. Let's let these weirdos just be weird.
Yeah. Right. It's like the Oscars now.
I could do fun segments like Fiona Bruce does on the UK one. There's one where the expert brings three things and you have to say what's the expensive one, what's the cheap one, and what's the medium one. I could play that game, and I'd fly to fucking Boise. I don't give a shit. Here I come, Boise. It's fun. Let's check out your record stores, Boise, Idaho.
Jesse, and I don't want to, I'm not here to body shame anybody, okay?
Here we go.
It's the last thing I want to do. All bodies are beautiful, but have you thought that maybe they're looking for someone with a little more junk in the trunk?
They need someone who's dummy thick.
All I have is this honky-tonk badonkadonk.
Okay, question two. Cody, you are an anime fan to the point where you do an anime podcast, correct?
That is correct. The Dark Weeb podcast with my boy, Brody Reed. We talk about anime and a bunch of other nerdy adjacent stuff. Hashtag in a plug.
Oh, I worked with Brody Reed. He's a good guy.
Oh, yeah, he's a sweetie. I love him. I love him.
So have you been like an anime fan since like you were a kid? Did you watch like, I don't know exactly how old you are, but did you watch like Robotech and stuff?
I think they all watch Dragon Ball Z, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was the one. Yeah. I mean, I like it like every other 14-year-old who had a Cartoon Network. Whenever Adult Swim came out, like that was definitely the gateway drug into weeb shit. So like a lot of Dragon Ball Z, a lot of Gundam, Robotech, all that stuff that was on basically anything that played on Cartoon Network, Adult Swim, between like 2000 to 2005, I was definitely watching it.
Jordan, did you know that there's baseball animes?
Yeah, like sports anime.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That seems like something I should be into. Like, I'm a nerd, right? But I'm artsy. I could like anime, except that for not watching it or liking it. But I love baseball, so I should watch a baseball anime.
Yeah, I don't know a baseball anime off the top of my head, although I know there are ones. But there is a basketball one called Slam Dunk that is very, very funny. It's from like the 80s.
Good name.
Like the 80s, early 90s, like... They're all into like Nikes and shit, and like everyone's Japanese, but there's one Japanese guy that they inexplicably make look like a black person. Like he has like a nice fade, he's got big lips. It's very problematic, but it's also very funny watching it in hindsight.
I can't say that basketball is my favorite sport, but I do like the way they dribble up and down the court.
Well, that's most of the game, so you like at least 50% of the game right there.
Yeah.
I have been slowly just in my, you know, in a world where we're all looking for something to watch on the fucking TV. I'm slowly trying to inject a little bit of anime into my TV watching.
Oh, hell yeah.
I really like watching anime movies, but for some reason the TV shows, I have a hard time clicking with the episodic TV, maybe because their pace is a little different than like Western TV.
Pace is trash. And also you have to go, sometimes they have like 900 episodes and you're like, there's no way I'm going to dedicate myself to 900 episodes of anything.
Yeah, right. It is really like sitting down and saying, like, I'm going to see what this Mary Tyler Moore is all about.
Yeah. Cut to season 27.
Yeah.
It does sort of, there is a certain amount of commitment that can only be made by, you know, an empty-lifed teen.
Yeah.
Like an 18-year-old with no job. That is a person who can commit to a 500-episode anime series.
Yeah, look, at 16, I was playing Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, and I don't mean just like beating the missions. I mean, I would take my character, I would dress him up as like a biker, I would steal a motorcycle, and then I would find a group of like NPCs driving motorcycles, and I would just follow them for hours throughout the desert. Like, that's what I would do when I was like 16. So like, I had plenty of time to dedicate to a 200 episode anime.
So the one of them that, you know, a lot of like anime fans will talk about getting into Attack on Titan.
Yeah.
And this is a show set in a kind of a steampunk medieval setting and where nude giants eat people who have bad lives.
Yeah.
Am I describing that correctly?
That's pretty much the distilled version of the show. I will say that it is definitely one of the, I mean, it is a very bizarre show. Like you said, there's like a bunch of nude, goofy looking giants running around. But I will say it is one of the few shows that actually like scares me when I watch it. Like I do fear a tinge of fear when I do watch the show, I think because it's such bizarre visuals. Like there's it's like a bunch of like giant, nude, veiny giants running around eating people.
Are their bodies veiny or are there cranks?
No, they're like
they're crankless. No cranks.
Yeah, they're smooth as eggs down there.
So they don't have cranks or vaginas?
No, they got nothing. You know, I think it all sort of melts off. I'm not sure the physiology of that. I guess I need to do a deep dive on Wikipedia, but they don't have the cranks or bolts down there.
It would be less creepy if they had genitalia. I think the lack of genitalia definitely bothers me a little bit.
Jordan, can I ask Cody and Jordan, both of you guys have seen this show. I haven't seen it. Do they have buttholes?
Oh, I don't know. They have butts.
I don't think they do because later on in the show they sort of talk about the physiology and they're like, they don't even technically digest these people. They just eat them and then throw them up later. So like, I don't think they even have like a digestive system, it seems like. So I guess there would be no bunghole if I had to.
Oh man,
if I had to like make an educated guess.
Right.
I haven't gotten to the explanation of the giant's digestive tract, so you should have said spoiler alert.
Oh, it's very thrilling. Don't worry, you'll love it.
And yeah, that is kind of the thing with the show is that it, you know, you do get these kind of like action packed episodes where they're like cutting down these giants with their like hydraulic jetpack things.
Yeah.
And then an episode will just be about a military trial. And that's the whole episode.
Yeah, well, somebody got court-martialed. You got to cover it.
And not even, they'll do training, but it won't even be like fun training. It'll be like, this is how you operate this particular mechanic of your suit. And you're like, oh, well, I guess I'm dedicating 22 minutes to this right now.
And I think that I do have that same kind of complaint about some, you know, Western TV, is that like prestige TV just feels like a movie they cut up, you know?
Yeah.
Or a lot of it does. So yeah, so like this is kind of that same thing about like, I don't feel like I've watched an episode. I felt like I watched a little part of a movie and I just stopped randomly.
I'll say also a unique thing about that show is that, like, as far as I can tell, there has not been a single dignified death on the entire show. Everyone dies screaming for their life. Like, no one ever, no one closes their eyes and passes on to, like, the great hereafter. It's always, like, clawing and screaming as they're being eaten alive by giants.
And then sometimes they turn into a giant? Oh, boy.
Yeah, there's a whole lot going on in that show. But yeah. I do recommend it. I very much enjoy it.
When you turn into a giant, does your junk fall off like a giant sequoia sheds its limbs in a forest fire?
It is a lot like that, yes.
Mm-hmm. You do become unitless.
Thanks. I just want to store all this up for when December rolls around.
The cool shit in that show is so fucking cool, though.
Yeah. The music.
Yeah. Oh, the music. That theme song. That I put the theme song on. I've started running. I have a running playlist, and I put the Attack on Titan theme on my running playlist. Always fucking gets me juiced.
Yeah, it's a great show to get hype. Like if I was still a 16-year-old kid, I'd probably be losing my shit every time that show came on.
Yeah.
Cody, what is your top anime that you enjoy that doesn't have anything to do with like magic powers or robots or action fights? Like, do you watch any courtroom drama animes or anything?
You know what? I don't think I do. I think the closest, I mean, it's not a fun movie, but it's very, very well made. Grave of the Fireflies. It's a really, really great
frequent movie. Jordan Jesse Go reference.
Oh,
yeah, that's the only anime thing I've seen.
It's a real romp. It's very fun. I really enjoy that. It's something that I can only watch maybe once every couple of years just because it's such a heavy, heavy flick. But I remember watching that in one, just being shook because, like, you know, it's like one of the first. It's like, you know, traditionally as Westerners, like, we watch cartoons, we think we're like, oh, this is going to be Donald Duck or Shrek or whatever. But then you see these kids sort of wilt away, and like you see people die by firebombing. You're like, oh wow, animation can be used to talk about adult things, very, very adult things. I don't think my 16-year-old mind was necessarily equipped to handle that type of information at that point.
Yeah, that is some really extreme. I mean, I think as somebody who bought comic books in the late 80s and early 1990s, when everything at the comic book store, Al's Comics, by the way, on Guerrero Street.
Shout out, Al.
Yeah, shout out to Al. He was very grumpy. all the comic books were just really putting their shoulders down and bulldozing into the topic of, comic books aren't just for kids.
Yeah.
They were just doing it with graphic violence. Like, occasionally shitty satire, but shitty satire and graphic violence were the main media for comics are not just for kids. And I feel like Grave of the Fireflies is like the next level shit on that continue. It's a beautiful film. Like, it's actually really good. I don't know whether, you know, the comic book character Lobo, who was always cutting off people's heads and then like saying something with the SH word in it or whatever, was good or not. I was 10 years old at the time. Mm-hmm. But like Grave of the Fireflies is a very beautiful film.
Mm-hmm.
But it's as though they were like, well, we should make something that proves that anime can be for adults. And then the other guy at the meeting is like, yeah, maybe like something about some people going through a difficult divorce. And then the other guy goes, what about a movie about children dying from radiation poisoning?
Cut the check.
And then there's just silence in the room for 10 minutes and they just go, okay, that ought to do it.
Your boy's about to win those Oscars.
Yeah, what would you, Cody, to your, like, are there any deep cuts that you recommend to someone who's like, I want to give anime a shot, but I don't exactly know where to go?
Yeah, are you looking for TV shows or movies or just anything?
Yeah, what's your TV show rec for me? I want an episodic thing.
Yeah, you know, this isn't necessarily a deep cut. It's actually a wildly popular show, but like, you know, I'm a huge, obviously I'm a nerd. Like I really love comic books and stuff, superhero stuff. So like there, whenever I see like Eastern interpretations of like traditionally like Western superheroes, like that's always interesting to me. So like, I highly recommend the show One Punch Man. It's very, very funny. It's got a very, very satirical outlook. Basically the premise is there's a guy named One Punch Man and he can defeat anybody with one punch. And he's been doing it for so long that he's sort of burnt out on being a superhero. And he's trying to find like his next, his new lease in life and like trying to find the ultimate opponent. And it's very, very funny. It's a very funny, send up of like all the tropes of, not only just like anime, but also like superhero comic books, and superhero movies and stuff like that. And a nice companion piece to that is actually another sort of superhero adjacent show called My Hero Academia. It's basically X-Men with an anime X-Men, basically. All the characters are nice. They're all wholesome. They all just want to do the best that they can in the world and help their friends. And having spent the past 4 years in this hellhole where everyone is just sort of looking out for themselves, it's been nice to watch a show that sort of actively champions for the idea of the collectivism as opposed to like the individual, which is I've been trying to get into more media that sort of hammers that message home, the idea of doing something for the greater good as opposed to doing something for yourself. And like that show has been a really great thing to like pass the time, and then also sort of like watch some wholesome media that does hammer home the idea of like maybe it's not a bad idea to like sacrifice for yourself to help your friends and to help the community.
Cody, that's a very beautiful sentiment. You had me at it's X-Men, but with blank. I will. Yes, sure, sure.
Yeah.
Is it X-Men?
Bye. Yeah, I'll buy it. Yeah, let's do it.
Jordan, and I know that you were asking me before we went on the air for some recommendations on Japanese men's fashion magazines to buy on Japanese Amazon. My recommendation to you is to check out Popeye, the magazine for city boys.
sounds great.
You're welcome.
Has anybody watched Princess Mononoke lately?
Yes, actually, I watched it like 2 months ago when I got HBO Go. I watched a couple of Miyazaki's films because he has whole collections on there.
Man, me too. That shit rules. It's like that in Toy Story. That's as good as animation gets, I think.
My only thought, I think the English dubs are not that good. It seems like they just sort of get famous people who don't necessarily give a shit about really acting for animation. So you'll have like Keith Sutherland or whoever, not Keith Sutherland, Michael Keaton, just sort of like mumbling his way through the movie. And you're like, hey, you could just hire any schlub and they would have probably cared more than like a millionaire who's already a movie star.
I started Princess Mononoke with my kids, but it was a little too intense right at the beginning.
Yeah, it's a little violent. Yeah.
Right now, I'm mostly just watching Totoro over and over, but I'd watch Totoro basically as many times as is necessary. Totoro's great.
You might also enjoy Kiki's Delivery Service. That's a pretty wholesome, kid friendly one.
Oh, Kiki's Delivery Service is great, and Phil Hartman does one. I know we're talking about how the voices are the American voices are sometimes crummy, but Phil Hartman is in it and does and gives a and just is it's fucking.
It's like
great.
A magic cat,
he's
right?
A magical cat. Yeah, it rules.
It's great, what a great person to be a magic cat.
Yeah, I mean, granted, that's another thing like X-Men, but if that I will just like, oh, a magic cat that talks like Phil Hartman, sure. Like,
yeah, sign me up. Yeah, I'll take Lionel Hutz as a cat. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Kiki's Delivery Service in the world of children's Phil Hartman vehicles, it's sort of the Japanese small soldiers.
Mm. Yeah.
That it features Phil Hartman.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Just Phil Hartman's in it.
Yes, I think so.
It's not seasonal like Jingle All the Way or whatever, you know?
You got to earn it.
I think that the quintessential bad American person that they got to do a VO in one of those Miyazaki movies, it's got to be Billy Bob Thornton in Princess Mononoke.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He just does not give a shit.
That is the two beeriest performance.
Yeah.
You can tell that he did that. It's like he did that in like 1 3-hour session. He was like, we're doing one take. I got my car stills on outside revving in the parking lot. I got to get out of here. I got to go meet Angelina. So let's wrap this thing up.
I thought Minnie Driver's great in that though. Minnie Driver's performance I think is pretty terrific. Anyway.
Yeah. Minnie Driver. Good in everything.
Good in everything.
Yeah. Armor. You love to see her.
You do. It's true.
Well, we've discussed anime well.
We sure have.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
You know, every single episode of Jordan Jesse Go is made possible by the folks who have become members of MaximumFun.org, folks who've gone to MaximumFun.org/join and told us that they listen to Jordan Jesse Go when they're signing up to send us a few bucks a month. We always appreciate those folks. This week, we are also brought to you by our friends at Fortunato Chocolates. These are some gorgeous, gorgeous chocolates. We got these chocolates in the mail, Jordan. Mm. And you know what?
Mm.
You know that I can't eat chocolate because it's a migraine trigger, but
I do know that.
I gave them to my wife, and let me just say, I've been on easy street.
No more sleeping on the couch for you, huh?
Nope.
Wow.
I used to have to sleep in the front yard with the pig.
Jesse, did you know that since 2008, Fortunato number 4 chocolate has been prized by top chocolatiers and pastry chefs in Michelin star restaurants? Did you know that?
That's the best kind of restaurant. 1 to 3 stars from the tire people.
Oh yeah, it is the tire people, isn't it? That's fine.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, because it's like a travel guide sort of deal.
That's great. Hey.
Yeah.
And if there's anybody I listen to, it's Chocolatiers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I listen to Chocolatiers for political advice. I don't listen to them so much for what the best chocolates are.
Yeah.
For that, I tend to go to Shields and Gigot on the news hour.
They have a lot of interesting ideas. Chocolatiers have a lot of interesting ideas.
Yeah. These Fortunato chocolates are made from rare, organically grown heirloom cacao from the jungles of northern Peru.
Wow.
You know, Jordan, that's why these are known the world over as Paddington Bear's favorite chocolate.
Does he come from Peru?
Yeah, because he comes from Peru, just like them.
Oh, that's a fun fact about Paddington.
Yeah, it used to be that normal people couldn't get these. Only pastry chefs, top chocolatiers, and Shields and Gigot.
Right.
From the news hour. Even like David Brooks would ask for the chocolates. They say, no, sorry. Shields and Gigot only.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
But hey, it's available now to the general public. Fortunato number 4 is made by a family company that has direct relationships with over 400 farmers and a socially conscious business model that helps farm families earn more. That's great to hear.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's available in 36% milk, 47% dark milk, and 68% dark. Fortunato is sold in 1.1-pound bars with minimal packaging to keep it affordable. Here's what you do. You visit podcastchocolate.com/JJGo. That's right. If you weren't hungry before, you're hungry now because of the URL podcastchocolate.com/JJGo.
Honestly, I'm hungry and horny because of that URL podcastchocolate.com/JJGo. That's as good as it gets.
This is the official chocolate of podcasts.
And Paddington Bear.
And Paddington.
Not sponsored by Paddington Bear. We do not have permission to claim that Paddington Bear, everyone's famous funny hat bear from the movie Paddington Bear 2, has sponsored this chocolate. It's just that this chocolate's also from Peru. Podcastchocolate.com/JJGo. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Cody Zeigler, the people's champ.
Jordan, you'll recall this from last week. Cody, you weren't here. You were
spiritually, I was there, but not physically.
Thank you. Yes, watching over us like a guardian angel.
Yeah. One Punch Man. We asked America. We view our show secondarily as a comedy podcast, and first and foremost, a celebration of America's mail service, the United States Postal Service.
Heroes, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Oni the postal dog, a taxidermy dog that has a vest covered in medals given to it by postal workers, but also the human living postal workers who comprise the network that delivers our mail even to the most rural Americans. And so, Brian, what did we ask mail carriers to call in with?
Just weird experiences they've had or things that have happened to them on the job because they're probably, or as they've been listening to the show, because they probably listen to the show while they're walking around delivering mail.
Yeah. So mail carriers go to all different people's houses. They have what are called routes, and on those routes are many homes and businesses.
Lay it out for me.
And so in a lot of ways, they're visiting a lot of people. And, you know, I don't know if you know this about people, Cody, but some of them are weirdos.
I've heard that.
Or they have weird pets or weird houses or weird businesses.
Yeah, a lot of freaks out there.
So, yes. Well, sure. Freaks come in all size, shapes, sizes, and colors, as Houdini taught us.
Jesse, when exactly do they come out?
Let's see. Typically. Let me think about this.
Typically, when do the freaks come out?
Yeah.
So, let's see. Well, what I like about freaks is that they're really good lovers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Come in all shapes, sizes, and colors.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know. The freaks come out at night.
That's when they come out.
There you go.
Ha, ha, ha. God, when and why did rappers move away from rhythmic exclamatory laughter? One of the best parts of early hip hop.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of like this, you know, they say the elements of hip hop are graffiti writing, b-boying, beatboxing, DJing, and rapping. But what about rhythmic exclamatory laughter? Yeah.
Rhythmic exclamatory clanned laughter. Where's that at?
Yeah. So anyway, they go to the different places. They see all kinds of freaks. We were interested in learning a little bit about this from our postal carrier friends. So, Brian, we've got some calls. Why don't you play one?
Hi, Jordan, Jesse, Sunny D, and guests. I'm listening to the podcast asking for mail carriers to call in. Currently serving some apartment cluster boxes. I live in Mississippi, moved down here to get married to my boyfriend, now husband. I used to live in Michigan, and I'm not sure about the wackiest, wildest occasion, but I am always startled when I pull into someone's neighborhood house to serve them mail and give them a package and find a large pig walk up and greet me. hope y'all are doing well. Have a nice day.
That rules.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Love to get a visit from a pig.
Hell yeah.
God.
Have you seen the dumpuses on those things?
Yeah. A dumpstick.
Yes.
Oink, oink.
Have either one of you done any type of delivery job or anything like that?
I don't think so. No, I did. When I first moved out to LA, I was a PA in a time, you know, right before the internet was a thing that everyone had. So I delivered a lot of hard copy scripts and DVDs of dailies to people. I think that's the closest thing I've done to delivering.
By people, Jordan means Fran Drescher.
Yeah, I did. I delivered scripts to Fran Drescher, and she would always give me a water bottle.
Oh, very nice of her.
Nice lady, class act, and an incredible talent, if you ask me.
I was a field election deputy for the city of San Francisco, Election days, I would drive, I would work, 18, 20, 22 hours driving around a special van full of election stuff from polling place to polling place.
Cody, have you?
Yeah, I delivered food pretty regularly throughout my early college years. But that story reminds me of I was delivering food, I think, in this town called Louisville or Clemens. This is a small suburb in North Carolina. But I remember turning on this dirt road and driving for fucking ever. I pull up to this house and I hand this lady her Chinese food. And I just hear this a huge gobble. And I turn around and there's just a field full of almost cartoonishly large turkeys. You know, when you think of the traditional turkey, the turkeys that are sort of pardoned by the president, there's these big ass birds. And there's just maybe half a dozen turkeys just like walking around on her front lawn. And this lady was like, oh yeah, these are my pet turkeys. Like, I don't kill them or anything. I just have them and they just sort of hang out on my property. I was like, okay, cool. Wow. Thanks, lady.
They are like terrifying animals up close.
They're huge.
And I remember the first time seeing one as a kid, I was so shocked because it didn't look like my hand.
Yeah, it was three dimensional.
Yeah,
it was very strange, very off putting.
Weird, right?
Yeah. You can't trust what they teach you in school, dude.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah,
these people are just trying to get fucking. They're just trying to brainwash you.
So turn me into a fucking sheep.
Bunch
man.
Of liberal cucks teaching up all this liberal agenda.
Thank you.
Speaking of which, I would love to have a sheep.
That would be nice. That would be
nice. There's pretty much, I'm having a hard time, honestly, thinking of an animal that I wouldn't like to have wandering around my property.
Yeah.
It'd be lovely.
I think a peacock would be pretty rad.
A peacock would be great. Yeah. Living that arboretum lifestyle. Come on.
They do, don't they? I mean, they're like random shriekers, though, right? Like, isn't that the thing with the peacock is that they're so majestic, but, you know, at 4 a.m, they'll just shriek?
You might be thinking of goats. Or murder victims.
Murder victims will shriek.
Yeah.
But I think peacocks are shriekers. Anyway, that's why I don't get one.
Very, very long time Jordan Jesse Go listeners will remember when this happened, but my wife's cousin once dropped off his pig at our house for babysitting.
I'm already hooking to this story. I can't wait to hear this.
And... pigs are very smart creatures, and they're very good pets.
Yeah.
But they bond very tightly with their owners, and they bite the shit out of me. But more than that, I would say we had probably, this was probably almost 10 years ago, and we had just moved into our house, and this pig was in our backyard for 2 nights, just screaming like a human, screaming and crying like a human.
Help! At 2 o'clock
in the morning.
Help us, yes.
Call the police.
I am quite confident that every one of my neighbors thought I was murdering someone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was very, very difficult, but a very cute pig. I mean, pigs are cute.
They're cute.
Let's take one more call from a postal carrier.
Hey, my name's Tony. I was just listening, and you said for postal workers to call. I'm not a carrier. This isn't a crazy thing that happened, but we have the sweetest little old man who comes and gets his mail and from us out of his box every single day. Calls me by my name, says, hello, Mr. Tony. I go get his mail out of his little P.O. box for him. Sweetest old man. One day he came in, and he's having so much trouble with the DMV in California, get a car, I don't know, something about a car or something, couldn't get the paperwork right, and then he just started breaking down and crying because he couldn't get this paperwork because he's 94 years old and he doesn't even understand it, and it was so sad. And then, so I just brought him over to the, I had to get in my car and go bring him over to the little, the place down the street that does the DMV work. A title place to help him out. And he came back and he put on a chocolate bar. That's so great of him. Have a great day.
Man, which one is better? Because they're both 10 out of 10.
Mm.
To have someone bring you a chocolate bar, an unexpected chocolate bar, or to have someone call you Mr. First Name. Those are both just as good as it fucking gets.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are great.
Oh, to have someone call me Mr. Jesse.
My dry cleaner just calls me Morris, and I like that a lot. I've never been, I've never had like a coach or anything call me by just my last name, and just my dry cleaner does it, and I love it. I'm all about it.
Hey, it's Morris. Hey. Everyone talks to you a beer, yeah.
That is wonderful. Get that dry cleaner assigned 8x10, Jordan.
Yeah. I know. It does not have the typical LA 8x10s, but I think who better to start the tradition than with me, a guy who has an upsetting recurring YouTube character. What are my other accomplishments?
You should have one of those multi-panel
Right, where you show your range.
And it's one shot of you in Sandra Bullock's least successful film.
Right.
One of you in your brief appearance on what's that soap opera called that you're on that's very, very popular?
Scandal, yes.
Scandal. So one shot of you as the as like the tabloid newspaper publisher on Scandal. One shot of you as Cotton Candy Randy. And then one shot of you as the surfer dude in the Fritz Coleman commercial.
All right, for the local weather. Yeah, and then just a stamp that says, bad career. It could be one of those big rubber stamps, ka-chunk.
Yeah.
It could, doesn't have to say bad career. It could say successful writer.
Sure,
it should say. Successful writer.
Yeah. Has a podcast. No, not like Joe Rogan.
I'm still throwing wide the doors for any postal worker who wants to call us at 206-9844-FUN or jjgo@maximumfun.org. And you know what else, Jordan? I'm adding bus drivers.
Oh, expand it.
And you know what? UPS, DHL, FedEx, you're into. The private sector. You're invited.
Yo, that's a hard... I was a UPS delivery helper for one season, and it was hands down the hardest, worst job I've ever had in my life.
The hardest and worst.
Yeah.
That's interesting because I have heard, I've definitely heard that it's hard.
Yeah.
But I had an aunt who was who worked for FedEx, and it was career for FedEx, and she really liked, she was very hyper-competent. Like, I feel like it's a great job if you're hardworking, hyper-competent, and didn't go to college, and you can still make pretty good money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm only one of those things. So I was not hardworking, and I was barely competent. I needed money for like to buy Christmas gifts. I was like, yeah, I'll do a temporary job like helping deliver UPS. It can't be that hard, right? You just like take boxes. But no, you have to wake up at like 6 a.m. to call the UPS center and be like, hey, do you have any routes that need to be helped today? And they're like, yeah, cool, do it. So like, you know, you get in your car or you get in the truck, you know, you go drive to some parking lot, random parking lot in the middle of nowhere, and a UPS truck shows up maybe 15 minutes later, and then you hop in and like you sit in like, so like you have the one seat, like the regular driver's seat, and then like you have your seat, the helper seat, which is like maybe 12 inches below. So you already feel like you're a kid with like your dad, like just driving around to your grandparents or some shit like that. But like, it's just nonstop work. Like, it's just like you're running around these neighborhoods. It's hard work. You're lifting heavy ass packages up and down hills. Like, you got to like navigate shitty people's dogs. And like, hats off. Like, I respect them. Like, I worked for 3 weeks and then I quit on the spot because I was so tired from running up hills all day.
You're just like, 21 days.
Yeah.
I had 21 parts of life energy. I spent one each day, the end. Yeah.
I got paid weekly, so I had three paychecks. I'm like, yo, I'm good. I'm too fat for this. I'm going home. See you. Peace.
People should not have pigs at their homes, you said.
Yeah. Turkeys are okay. Pigs, no.
I have to say this on the subject of bus drivers. One time, a couple years ago, I was at the gas station, not to brag, but it was USA gas.
Oh.
No foreign gas for me. I'll pay the premium.
I'm a Sinclair man, like the little dinosaur on the logo.
It's a great fucking dino, man. It is a great dino. It really looks like the dinosaur from, it's such a classic dinosaur, like the dinosaur from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
It really is.
I was pumping gas at the gas station, and there's a bus stop right at the gas station there. And a bus pulled in, the doors open, no one got on or off, but the driver said, "Hey, Jesse Thorne." I have not felt more like a fucking king-ass celebrity, like a high emperor celebrity, than to be recognized by a bus driver. That was the thrill of my life.
They're heroes. They're American heroes. And you're a hero to the bus driver, Jesse, so that makes you a double hero.
I don't know. I think he just recognizes a peer.
Sure.
You know, he and I are both cool dudes with sweet gigs.
You've both dined together at the Heroes Club.
Yeah.
There was this bus driver I used to take. I sang in a community chorus when I was in elementary school. Again, not to brag. And to get to the Community Music Center, we would take the 49 Van Ness Mission bus from Discovery Center School.
That's a good bus.
Great bus. I mean, a lot of people will tell you that it's better to take the 14 Mission.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly the 14L, the 14 Limited, that's going to be a little faster. But the 49 is great because it goes all the way to Balboa Park. Anyway, the 49 Van Ness Mission we would catch after school. Me and Abe and Josh Bingham, the twins, and I think my friend Pete was in that chorus too. We'd go see Urs, the chorus master. And about one in three times, we would get this one kind of handsome middle-aged driver who wore a beret. The Muni bus outfits in San Francisco, they're brown. But they have a real 1971 dignity to them. And one of the cool things about them is one of the optional headgears is a beret.
That's dope. I'm so into this.
And this dude would wear the beret. You'd rarely see somebody wearing the beret, but once in a while. And this guy always wore the beret, and he would do this thing where he'd see us getting on the bus. And, you know, this is a group of, I guess we were probably 9 years old. And he would put his hand over the fare box and just give us one of those, go ahead on in.
This one's on.
Go ahead on in.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. He was the cool black uncle I never had. Just gorgeous. Just gorgeous. Letting us on. Then we could buy now and laters with our bus money, Jordan.
Ooh, that's a good candy.
Yeah.
It's the best of the 25-cent candies. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. There's no competition.
You can tell me all day about cherry clans or whatever, but
pound sand Tootsie Rolls.
Yeah.
Honestly, one of the trash candies.
Even Tootsie Pop.
Yeah. Cody, top under a buck candy.
Oh God. I would say those. I mean, it's maybe a controversial opinion, but those like little sweet, the little tarts, the little like a roll of tarts. Like I'm a big stand of those, I gotta say. And the fireball.
I kind of like those too. As a kid, I liked anything that you could suck into oblivion. I liked anything that you could, and I know some people are going to snicker at that because it sounds dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just want to say I'm ashamed of all of you. I'm talking about sucking a tart till it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to listen to one of those dirty podcasts. Yeah. We keep it clean here on Jordan Jesse Go. Yeah. We have a little respect for our audience.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you thought that I was talking about anything other than a candy when I said I liked to suck into oblivion, you're fucking nasty. You're fucking nasty.
I know what time of day you're listening to this because you are a freak.
Yeah. You're listening to it in the daytime because at night you're going to be going out.
Yeah, well, at night you got to go out. Find lovers.
Mm-hmm. You're nasty.
Locate lovers. Nasty. God, you're so nasty. Listen to
bad boys. God,
you're so nasty.
Bad boys. Naughty girls.
Oh. You know what? I'm going to call you Miss Jackson because you are nasty.
Sure, yeah.
Nasty.
Nasty listeners.
Nasty.
Nasty just listeners. Ew.
Nasty.
Ew.
Ugh.
Ugh. You think this is going to become a recurring segment?
I hope so.
Berate the nasty listeners.
Should we make theme music for it?
Yeah. If you want us to continue the segment, just hit us up on Twitter with the hashtag junk in the trunk.
Okay, before we close this segment out, let's take one regular momentous occasion because we're going to get call. We're going to be dealing with these calls from DHL. We're going to be dealing with these calls from FedEx, UPS, the United Parcel Service, USPS, the United States Postal Service. Heck, we might even get one of those a call from one of those guys that wears the blue Amazon vest.
Mm.
I can't promise it, but let's take a momentous occasion now.
Hey, Joran, Jesse, and guests. So I've been listening to your back episodes, and this is from April when you asked for any of the vampire LARPers to call in with a ridiculous story about sex at game. So here's mine. I am playing a Ventru and Vampire the Requiem, which means nothing to you, but I guarantee you a good amount of your listeners know exactly what I'm doing. and I'm playing a bisexual vampire.
Pause it for a second.
Are you suggesting our listeners are nerds?
How no, dare you? I think he,
how Jordan, dare you, sir?
I think he's suggesting that our listeners are nasty.
They're nasty. Wow. I think some of them are, unfortunately. Kennedy, let's hear the end of this, Brian.
And I'm talking to a married couple, and between games, we do email scenes, and one of the email scenes turned into erotica between our three characters.
Oh, yeah.
And I am a straight male, but they invited me over to continue the scene, and I thought, why the hell not? So, long story short, the Venture's power is it can tell people what to do and they have to do it. So I had my first MMF threesome that night. And it was the first time I've ever messed around with the male because I really got into character and so did they. So guess a momentous occasion. Depends on the way you look at it. Was it lame to do that as a character, or was it awesome? Love you guys. Bye.
Love you too. And Jordan and Cody, I don't know if you guys know all of the sex lingo, but
I do not. MNF, I'm not nasty.
Yeah, oh. An MNF threesome is where you have sex with Al Michaels and John Madden.
Oh yeah, I've heard that. Yeah,
play by play and color guy from Monday Night Football.
Yeah, you gotcha.
Here, I'm actually searching MMF on Twitter, and it's just pictures of steamer trunks. Just vintage steamer trunks that are getting appraised. I don't know what's all this about. What did this guy do?
Yeah. I searched steamer and junk in the trunk, and I got some stuff that I would rather not have seen.
Have you ever LARPed, or have you messed around with anything that requires costuming or acting?
Surprisingly, no, that is not my lane, my nerd lane, although I know I have plenty of friends who do LARP. I've never personally done it. They were LARPing, and then they went over to this other people's house. Like, that was the story, right? Like, that they weren't playing like a video game. They're like LARPing. That's what he said.
They were LARPing initially. Mm-hmm. Then they were sending in character erotic emails.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's multimedia.
Yeah.
Two screen experience.
Yeah. Then, of course, that naturally led to just regular, you know.
That's rad as hell, to be honest with you. That sounds cool as shit.
Yeah. That fucking rules. Yeah. Way to go.
Yeah. That rules, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you were wondering our opinion if it was lame because you were doing it as a LARP or if it ruled. I think it rules.
Yeah. I think maybe you're a method actor. Maybe that's the train of thought. I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
But we support you anyway. That sounds rad as hell.
I think we've all wanted to fuck Al Michaels in our time.
I'm more of a Madden dude, but I'll take either one, to be honest with you.
Madden gets out that fucking telestrator. How can you not be into it?
Sure, yeah.
You know he's got a dump. You know he's got a thick old booty.
Oh, John Madden's. Madden is a freak. Get on the bus, baby. Yeah.
I hear he's so thick he's going to start hosting Antiques Roadshow. They call it the turducken. His butt. That's what they call his butt, the turducken.
Sure. 206-984-4FUN or jjgo@maximumfun.org. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. La, la, la.
I can remember as a child thinking it was odd that here was this can full of meat.
I'm Jesse Thorne. This week on my show Bullseye, David Letterman on shame, regret, and canned hams.
Is this the best delivery version of pork?
That's this week on Bullseye from MaximumFun.org and NPR. La, 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 la,
la. Congratulations, you've won a ticket to attend an exclusive opportunity in a relaxing environment with two lovers.
Wow. Well, this sounds like a sort of proposition of sorts, but really it's an ad for our podcast. Wonderful. It's a show we do here on Maximum Fun where we talk about things that we like and things that we're into.
I'm Rachel McElroy, and you just heard Griffin McElroy, and we are excited for you to join us as we talk about movies and music and books.
Things like sneezing or the idea of rain.
Can you get news or information you can use?
Absolutely,
so.
You cannot, because we're here to talk to you about pumpernickel bread.
You can find new episodes on Wednesdays.
So catch the wave.
La 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 la.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Cody Ziegler, aka Black Samson.
Oh, did something happen? Does Samson have all his power in his hair?
Yeah, that's his thing, and I haven't cut my hair in many, many years, although you couldn't tell it because I have not had it professionally done up since COVID, so that's where I'm coming from.
What are your top dues?
You know, really, I've just been rocking, you know, a really, really bad afro, but I think I'm going to do a Odell Beckham. I think that's the Odell Beckham Jr. He's got a nice little thing going on, like some blonde dyed, like the top of it, but the side of it is like sort of like what's the word? It's like it sort of tapers down to like from blonde to brown. Like, I think that's the next move whenever we are allowed back in the barbershops.
If it's long enough, my recommendation to you is to just go 80s Stevie Wonder and get the beads on it.
Yeah, get a Jarrett Curl, throw some beads in there, change the whole game. Man, you might be onto something.
Yeah, I know I'm onto something. I mean, if you're not going to go Drew down, I think the answer is 80s Stevie Wonder.
Let me put that in my back pocket.
Cody, I don't know if you can talk about it or if you know, but mm-hmm. When's that fucking She-Hulk show coming out?
I can't talk about it, but I also don't know. So, like, I got a twofer for you. I have no idea when any of that stuff is going down, because honestly, COVID hit like right in the middle of when we were writing. So, like, we all sort of writing from home. I know everything's been pushed back with Marvel, so I honestly have no clue. But like, I can't wait to watch it whenever it comes out, whenever that may be.
I don't want to get into your whatever NDAs you've signed or pressure you into revealing anything here. Mm-hmm. But She-Hulk is like a Lady Hulk.
Yeah,
you know, I'm glad that you've been able to put those two things together. She is in fact a Lady Hulk. In the comics, she is the cousin of Bruce Banner, a.k.a. the titular Incredible Hulk. And in the comic, she gets her powers via her cousin, Bruce Banner, and becomes a Lady Hulk.
Do they, like, how do you get powers from your cousin?
I think in the comics, it was like, she was, like, the mob was after her because she's also a lawyer. I think she did she brought down the mob and, like, some hitmen went after her, and they shot her up, and she needed a blood transfusion, and the only person who had the same type of blood was Bruce Banner, and then I think they did a blood transfusion, and through that she got his irradiated gamma blood and became She-Hulk. That's how she got her powers.
Hell yeah!
That happened to me with my cousin. That's how I
oh,
got
dope.
My powers of as a high powered executive assistant.
Getting the
just
best.
Really good at managing schedules and stuff. I get paid six figures to do it because I'm so good at it. You know.
Hell yeah! Really good at getting Caesar salads.
And that's why I sell commemorative coins to the NRA. We're talking about cousin jobs here.
Shout out to cousins, huh?
Shout out to cousins. Why you got these weird jobs?
Yeah. Big up cousins working at the Dollar General.
Yeah, Cody, when you work for a Marvel show, do you have to like learn, you know, fucking 70 years of comics continuity?
If I was not already a giant nerd, you probably would have had to do that. But like, I came in. Like, you know, I'm trying to think of what I can say. Like, basically, my lane, as it were, was like, I was definitely like one of the comic book MCU nerds. Like, I read, you know, I've been reading comics since I was a kid. Like, I've always just been a Marvel stan anyway. So, like, I'd already watched all the movies. So, like, that was sort of my lane. So, like, I was like the one, like, that knew like all the history and like what the characters were doing, what, and like, sort of like, you know, that was sort of my niche. But like, you definitely, you know, you had full access to like the Marvel library at any time. So like, if you wanted to read 70 years worth of comic history, you could just send an email and get it sent to you day or night.
Oh shit. That's cool.
Which I definitely took advantage of.
You know what I would do if I worked for the Marvel Comics Entertainment Empire? Try and raise the money to buy Firestorm, the Nuclear Man.
Get him, bring him over.
What do you think that would cost?
Yeah.
What do you think that would cost? I think $2,500.
Yeah. Yeah, at least.
I think $25.
Well, he's
and maybe a Tootsie Roll.
He's two men, technically. So
yeah.
Do you have to maybe, pay?
Are you thinking $5,000, Jordan?
Yeah, I think it's $2,500
per man.
Yeah,
yeah. Unfortunately,
it's a steal.
Get him over there.
Well, Cody, it's been a delight to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us all the way from North Carolina in the middle of the night, East Coast time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime, guys. It was fun. Thanks for having me.
Cody Ziegler, our guest on this week's program. If you have a correction for us, we value your corrections and we appreciate them. We care about quality, so tweet them at JD Power on Twitter. Hashtag it JJGo on Twitter or share. What are we sharing with the hashtag junk in the trunk, Jordan?
I don't know. Who cares?
How about just post whatever with the hashtag junk in the trunk?
Yeah, this week, we'll find
this
it.
This week on Twitter, just share something interesting with the hashtag junk in the trunk. I want all the junk in the trunk tweets to, you know, whatever, have Wario in them or whatever.
Who cares?
Yeah, that Wario. Wario in there.
Whatever.
Somebody, Jordan, by the way, somebody sent us, and there was no note and no explanation, and the package came from India. But somebody sent us, you know, those kind of like those welcome mats, and they're made kind of out of the same kind of thing that like a broom is made out of. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? Like it's sort of like a natural, like a sisal or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's like that, but it has Wario on it. And he says, welcome home.
Can I have that?
Yeah. I want that.
Can I have it?
In fact, I insist you take it from me.
Yes.
So thank you to whoever sent us that.
Finally, I have that son I've been looking for. Finally, my own son.
Sir, you want to enroll it in pre-kindergarten?
I just want to make sure it has all the advantages I had.
Very smart for his age group.
Why do you think I live in this school district?
Yeah.
Jordan is, let's see, at Jesse Thorne and at Jordan_Morris on Twitter. Brian Sunny D. Fernandez is our producer on the program. You can hashtag it JJGo on Twitter. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/JordanJesseGo. You can join the Maximum Fun Facebook group there on Facebook. There's always a nice chat in the Reddit at maximumfun.reddit.com. You can also join bozskags.reddit.com. Where sometimes it's someone posting about Jordan Jesse Go, sometimes somebody just wants to talk about the Lido Shuffle. blah, 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 blah. Our theme music, Love You by The Free Design, courtesy of The Free Design and our friends at Light in the Attic Records. We're ever grateful to them, and we will talk to you next time on Jordan Jesse Go.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Audience supported.